So picture this. You've just pulled off something massive, like rebuilding a city's walls after they've been rubble for ages. That's what happened in ancient Jerusalem. Nehemiah chapter 11 gives us this incredible glimpse.
Yeah, a huge achievement.
But then this kind of chilling moment hits. The walls are up, but the city, it's basically empty, a shell.
Exactly. The structure's there, but the life, the soul, it's missing. How do you actually bring people back? How do you turn it from stone back into a living, breathing community?
That's the amazing challenge we're digging into today. After all that work on the walls, the real test was repopulating Jerusalem. It needed more than just defenses.
Mm-hmm. It needed a heartbeat, a community to fill those holy spaces.
So our mission here is to explore how they did it. This ingenious solution they found, built on, well, shared commitment, and maybe surprisingly, a lot of sacrifice.
And we want to pull out those lessons, right? About service, about value, about just showing up, that can really strengthen your own trust, your relationship with God today.
Okay, so the walls are up. Why wasn't it instantly buzzing? What was the actual, like, day-to-day reality that made it so hard to get people back in?
That's a really key question. See, Jerusalem was supposed to be the center, the heart of everything, spiritually, politically.
Right.
But people hadn't lived there for decades. They'd put down roots in other towns, villages nearby. Life outside, well, it was maybe tough, but it was established.
Okay, familiar.
Inside Jerusalem, even with new walls, it was still a bit raw. Think constant construction, rebuilding was happening everywhere, resources were tight.
Still felt unfinished, maybe.
Definitely. And even with the walls, there were still threats around. It wasn't exactly a comfortable move-in-ready situation. People had farms, routines, lives elsewhere.
Got it. So not just a simple, hey, everyone, come back.
Yeah.
This was a serious, difficult move they were asking people to make. How did they even approach it?
Well, they came up with a very specific plan, a strategy. Bring one-tenth, one out of every 10 people from the surrounding areas back into Jerusalem.
One in 10. That's significant.
Yeah. It was a real societal commitment. And how they chose. That's fascinating. Some were picked by casting lots.
Like drawing straws, almost.
Sort of, yeah. In that culture, often seen as a way of letting God guide the decision, or at least making it impartial, it showed everyone was sort of in this together, sharing the load.
But it wasn't just the lots, was it? That's where it gets really inspiring.
Exactly. This is the incredible part. Many people didn't wait to be chosen. They volunteered willingly. The text actually says the people blessed all the men that willingly offered themselves.
Wow. So it wasn't just duty. It was stepping up, knowing it was hard, but necessary.
It speaks volumes about their commitment. Think about the sacrifice. These weren't just suggestions. They were uprooting their entire lives.
Leaving homes they knew.
Comfortable homes, farms, friends, routines, all of it. To move to a city that was still, you know, finding its feet. Still a challenge, but it was vital. Vital for their nation, for their faith.
That willingness to go where it's needed, not just where it's easy,
mm-hmm.
That's powerful. It kind of cuts against our modern drive for comfort, doesn't it?
It really does. And you have to ask, what drove that? I think it was this deep sense of shared purpose, a profound trust, maybe.
Trust in what? In the leaders.
Yeah.
In the plan.
Probably partly that, but deeper too, I think. Trust in God's purpose for Jerusalem. It wasn't just any city. It was their sacred center. Seeing it restored, truly alive again, that was a calling.
So the sacrifice felt like an investment.
Yeah.
An act of faith itself.
Exactly. An act of worship, almost. Embracing the discomfort because they believed they were part of something bigger, something God was doing.
Okay, so these volunteers, these families chosen by a lot, they make the move. What happens then? The text gets really detailed about who was there, right? It wasn't just leaders.
Not at all. And this is another key insight. The account lists all sorts of people. Yes, the rulers, the chief figures, you'd expect that.
Trivially.
But it goes way beyond that. Priests and Levites, obviously crucial. But even within that group, it specifies roles. Some doing the hands-on work in the temple, others managing the outward business.
Outward business, like administration.
Well, it's precisely. Temple finances, resources, external relations, the practical stuff that keeps things running. It shows every layer was needed.
And it even names specific people for roles that might seem smaller, like Mattaniah, the one who started the Thanksgiving and prayer.
Yes. It highlights that even those leading the spiritual expression, the worship, the arts, they were foundational, not just add-ons.
That's a great point. Like the singers, Weren't they mentioned specifically?
They were. It says they had a specific provision, a daily portion, ordered by the king. That tells you how much they valued the music, the worship, the spirit it brought. It wasn't fluff, it was essential.
It's seen as vital to the city's, like, spiritual health.
Absolutely. And then you have the porters, the gatekeepers.
Seems basic, but critical for security.
Totally critical. Security,
right.
Order, managing who comes and goes. It drives home this idea. A healthy community needs all its parts. Every single function matters.
It's like the text is deliberately saying, look at all these different people, these different jobs, everyone counted.
Exactly. Hundreds listed by name or group. It underlines that nobody's contribution is too small in God's eyes or for the community to thrive. It's about the interconnectedness, the valiant men, the mighty men of valor mentioned. It shows this took courage, real dedication from all levels.
So it wasn't just about filling houses. It was about weaving together this fabric of different skills, different roles, all showing up.
Yes. And that collective decision, that willingness to leave the familiar, to show up, to invest their presence, that's what revived Jerusalem. Not just the walls, the people.
This act of faithful presence. It built trust, unity.
Yeah.
It enabled that revival. That feels like a lesson that echoes way beyond ancient history.
Absolutely. Which brings us to the crucial question. How do we take this ancient wisdom, and let it shape us? How does it deepen our trust, our walk with God right now?
Yeah, let's unpack that. First, that idea, go where you need it, not just where it's comfortable. That's a direct challenge, isn't it?
It really is. The people in Jerusalem, especially the volunteers, they didn't just accept hardship, they chose it for a greater purpose. It suggests that real growth, spiritually too, often happens right at that edge of our comfort zone.
When we're stretched, when we have to rely on something bigger.
Right. Actively stepping into a needed role, even if it's tough, builds that reliance, that trust in God, in a way that staying comfortable never can.
And then there's the volunteering part, that willingness.
Mm-hmm. It highlights purposeful service. When you choose to step up, even in quiet ways, it impacts the community, sure, but it also deepens your own sense of purpose, your connection with God. It's an active way of building that relationship.
It's not just duty, it's a response,
yeah.
A freely given act.
Exactly. You're engaging with God's purpose for you, showing trust through action.
Okay, and the third thing, recognizing every contribution.
Yes, understanding that every role, big or small, visible or hidden, is valued by God and needed for a healthy spiritual community. Whether you're leading up front or supporting quietly, it all matters.
That fosters unity, doesn't it? Seeing everyone is essential.
It builds mutual appreciation. It reminds us we're all part of this bigger tapestry God is weaving. Every thread counts.
Finally, just showing up, the power of presence.
Maybe the most fundamental point, ancient Jerusalem needed people there. Our communities, our faith communities, they need that too. Consistent, faithful presence.
Being there, involved.
It builds trust. It allows real relationships to grow. It creates the space for revival. Being present, especially when it's inconvenient, when you have to make an effort, that's where trust deepens. That's where you draw closer to God. It's making your faith tangible.
So it really comes down to this, doesn't it? Real community, a strong spiritual life, isn't just about big plans. It's built when ordinary people choose extraordinary faithfulness,
mm-hmm.
especially when it costs something.
That's where the trust is forged. That's where relationships deepen, where life really flourishes. It challenges us to look past our own comfort.
Ask ourselves where our presence, our unique contribution is truly needed.
Mm-hmm.
So as you reflect on this spirit, this story from Nehemiah 11, how will you apply this information in your own life and in your communities?